Welcome to the Dogman Underground Podcast. You are at merinocanine.com. This is Chuck, and you got too much prey drive. Huh? What? Too much prey drive? Yes, way too much prey drive in these supposed personal protection dogs that we see today. I've been talking about this for quite a while. It was interesting. I listened to a podcast. Mike Ritland has been one of my teachers. I was a member of his training website for 2 years. I got a lot of respect for Mike Ritland. He was a Navy SEAL dog trainer and currently operates the Warrior Foundation, which is kind of a rehabilitation center / retirement center for the war dogs. So a really good dude, former Navy SEAL. So the guy running the podcast asked him about the prey drive, and he said, so for a police or a military dog, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you looking for in prey drive for those dogs? And Mike said a 12. Totally understandable. Get it, no doubt, on the same page. And he was asked the same question. Now, for a personal protection dog or a home protection dog, what would be the perfect amount of prey drive? And Mike said 4 or 5. I find this to be absolutely true. And these prey drive dogs are more a pain in the ass than anything else. They're great on the sport fields, the police dogs and all, but for me in my home, really high prey drives are just a pain in the ass and unnecessary. He also said pit bulls are probably the worst dogs that you could pick for personal protection, which is something that I've been saying for a long time too, even though Lee Robinson gets mad at me for saying it because he's bred these extremely high prey drive dogs. I mean, off the charts prey drive in these pit bull dogs. And, you know, to me, man, what I'm interested in is I don't really give a shit about breeders. I care about the dogs. And then I care about the people who purchase the dogs. You end up spending, you know, in the case of some of those dogs, $3,000 to end up with a dog, number one, that is real hard to get to be aggressive towards people. And number two, knocks your kid over all the time because it's got so much damn prey drive. That's what I care about, is someone spending, you know, thousands of dollars under the false assumption that these high prey drive pit bulls are like the best choice for a home guardian dog, and they just ain't. So it was interesting listening to Mike say that. Now, you need a little bit of prey drive, there's no doubt about that, you know, for the training purposes. And also what he was pointing out there, you know, some of the differences, I've been talking about this, a lot of these prey drive dogs will fold in a real situation because there's no pressure in prey drive. Like Mike was saying, prey drive is used as a stress relief. You know, when you're, say like you're working your dog in defensive drive, you can do things to then switch into prey drive to relieve that tension and that stress on that dog. And that's why a lot of these dogs that are bred and trained for all this high prey drive, and then you get them in a real home or personal protection situation and they crumble. And the reason for that is that they haven't been put under pressure. They've only been worked in prey drive, and they have not been worked in defensive drive. And that's just a recipe for disaster and a false sense of security. You know, that and again, that's all I care about, man. I wouldn't want to leave my wife in the company of one of those dogs. I mean, I'm just not going to trust it, you know. And I think I got the right dogs with the amount of right amount of drives, and my dogs are a little, you know, probably anywhere from 6 to 10 on the stranger danger defense drive. A lot of territorial, you know, which isn't necessarily fear-based either. A lot of territorial, it's not really a drive necessarily, but a sense of mind in my dogs. And that's what you're looking for. That's what I'm looking for in a home protection dog. Again, we're not sending our dogs out to chase, apprehend, and detain. That's police work, military work, and the simulation of that in the sport world. And it's just amazing how much BS is on YouTube, man, and from supposed experts. But it was really refreshing to listen to Mike, you know, reiterate what I've been saying for a long, long time. And should be, you know, really shouldn't be much of an argument here. You know, pit bulls have been bred for a long time. Did not be. I just listened to Tom Gardner talking about the breed standard. So if there's somebody that should know something about pit bulls, it'd be Tom Gardner. And he was talking about one of the key traits of a pit bull is that it is very loving and trusting of people. And that's actually the case, right? So there's a lot of reasons why pit bulls and high prey drives dogs just do not, contrary to popular opinion, I guess, do not make the best home security dogs. It's the wrong tool for the job. And while I think a lot of reason why people are working in the prey drive, it's a lot safer. It's a lot safer drive. Not, I mean, prey drive development, I mean, it's not that those dogs ain't biting, man. They're biting. And like you said, a lot of those dogs, the pit bulls, can have so much confidence in the prey drive that it turns into actually a liability. And I found that to be the case. So be careful out there. You know, get the dog that's for your lifestyle. You know, so if you're young and, you know, you jog 20 miles a day and bike ride and do all that kind of stuff, maybe you could get one of those dogs. But for the average family, the other thing is, like, you know, I wonder why all these pit bulls bite kids all the time. Mike was talking about, you know, you get these high drive pit bulls and really high drive and bring them into a family with children can be a problem. Not that, you know, it's not that they're bad dogs. It's just they got so much prey drive, and you got all these kids. Oop, here's dogs out in the middle of the road. Watch out, puppy. You know, kicking the ball, running and screaming in the yard can regress a dog. And that's why there's a lot of these pit bull bites. Devastating, steadying. I mean, they bite more people than any other dog, according to the statistics. And some people want to argue about that, too. But it is what it is. And you know, it was a great dog until it wasn't. So watch out for that prey drive. You don't need a whole lot of it for what we're doing. It's the wrong chemistry set. We need a little bit of it for our training. And but what we really need, you know, I'm looking for a dog around, you know, at least a 5 or a 6 in the defense drive. Because that's what I'm working with here. And that's, you know, That's the skinny on it, and the wisdom of Mike Ritland. Thank Mike, and if you get a chance, go check out Mike's website. It's a really, like I said, I was a member there for 2 years and did all his training videos. I actually thought about possibly going and getting his certification. I hadn't listened to Mike in a while. I was thinking last night, maybe I ought to go back over there and join and see if he still offers that professional dog training certificate. I wouldn't mind getting one of those. Even maybe through the PPDA or something like that. But high prey drive dogs are generally too much dog, a pain in the ass, and just not the right dog for the job.